Good morning again. Probably all wondering, what's that crusty old guy doing up there? We have a terrific new pastor who gives terrific sermons. Well, Dirk is away this weekend. He's up in Saratoga with several of our youth from the church. And he asked me to talk today. Thought it might be a good time for me. As you know, his sermons for the past several weeks have been talking about let it go. And as we've been reading from the scriptures of Philippians, let it go is kind of appropriate for me at this point. As I finished my time serving on consistory after serving for 7 years. This past Tuesday, I attended my last consistory meeting. As we turned the page and welcomed several new members to consistory, I've considered it both a privilege and an honor to serve on consistory during these past years. They've gone by so quickly and have been some of the most personally rewarding years of my life. Becoming involved in learning about the administration and operation of the church, the classes, Reformed Church in America, has opened my eyes to many very important aspects of church life that had never occurred to me before. It has helped me to develop lasting relationships with many folks who I barely even knew before I got involved. It has helped me to become aware of the structure, meaning, and elements of worship services so that I could more fully understand and appreciate what was taking place. It has helped me to become acutely aware of how much it costs to run this beautiful facility and to gain an appreciation for the generosity, love, and support that this church, this community has provided to many, many deserving and worthwhile causes around the nation and the world. As I have said a number of times in the past, I love this church. My dream for this church is that in a not too distant future, ushers will be needed to help people find seats because the pews will all be filled. That our church will be overflowing financially, where more of our attention can be devoted to mission support and caring for others. That our fellowship hour will continue to be vibrant and alive as it has been over the past several months and will grow even more. And if you haven't come to those, it might be a very worthwhile experience to go through. Now, reflecting back to what John read in the scripture for today from Philippians, in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. These two verses caused me to stop and think that, at least for today, we change the theme from let it go to let's go. I have a story I'd like to share with you. There was a young fellow beginning his career, and he asked an old rich man how he made his money. The old guy was rubbing his expensive wool suit and said, "Well, son, it was 1932, the depth of the Great Depression. I was down to my last nickel. I invested that nickel in an apple. I spent the entire day polishing the apple. And at the end of the day, I sold the apple for 10 cents. The next morning, I bought two apples. I polished them and worked all day to sell them for 20 cents. I continued doing that for a month. And by the end of the month, I'd accumulated $1.37. "And that's how you built an empire?" the boy asked. "Heavens no," the man replied. "My wife's father died and left us $2 million. Now, it may seem that all the efforts you put into loving one another and developing relationships yields only about $1.37 worth of goods. What we need is an inheritance. We want an inheritance. And that is what God provides. We prefer that God bring easy people to church, people easy to love, who will give a better return on our investment. Instead, he brings us together, that we might learn to enjoy one another right in the midst of life and discover the inheritance that only he can provide. The joy expressed throughout Philippians reminds me of what is stated in our mission statement, where we say, we seek to engage people in the life, joys, and work of the church. 16 times in the four short chapters of Philippians, Paul uses the noun joy or the verb rejoice, to rejoice. God offers joy in Christ while suffering with sickness, while struggling with temptation, while being misrepresented by a friend. And in today's message, joy in Christ while building a church unified around the teachings of the Bible, the gospel, and developing meaningful relationships. Here at Emmanuel, we have so much for which to be joyful. We have many people in our congregation that have engaged themselves earnestly in doing God's work here in the Castleton area and surrounding communities. And as it is said in Philippians 3:17, whose examples we can follow. I would like to mention some of those at this time. But first, I want to apologize right up front to those who have I admitted, because I know that this listing is far from complete. I'd like to start with Dave Spink. Dave has had a deep commitment to the Interfaith for Partnership for the Homeless for well over a decade. His efforts have gone overboard. Yes, he's had many people in the congregation assist him in his efforts, and they've been very generous with the support, but he has been the steady influence in keeping this mission going. I think we can find joy in that. John Chiampa, who for several months has been tutoring math and English at Schenectady City Mission to a couple of folks who want to obtain their GED. John has not only given his time, but he's gone out on his own to buy books that would be helpful to those folks in completing their work and reaching their goal. Ingrid Derezinski. God bless you, Ingrid. Who can count the vast number of hours Ingrid has donated and been a mainstay in volunteering at the Yankee for so long, many years? The list goes on. Wendy Van Buskum, Roland Ferris, Judy Auger. They've been coming early to church to make coffee and prepare for fellowship hour every Sunday for years. Now, people need their coffee. We don't want to see grouchy people. They have, you know, to this day, been working. And as you go upstairs later on, you'll find the coffee is there and already and waiting for you. But to this day, we still need help cleaning up after Richmond hour. That represents an opportunity for someone. Dandy Burns, unfortunately, she just left for Sunday school. But she has done such a terrific balancing act in maintaining such a hectic life schedule, performing a very difficult and demanding full-time job, doing a lot of traveling, while still being a dedicated housewife and mother, as well as being the number one sports fan for Emily and Eric, still finds time to teach Sunday school, to serve on consistory, and Bible study. She's amazing. We can find joy in that. Of course, we have many folks who are involved with teaching Sunday school, and we are so grateful for all that they do in guiding and shaping the youth of our church. They do a really fantastic job. Roland Ferris, you make the list twice, at least twice, Roland, and you deserve it. Roland is a person who takes care of so many things that I can't even begin to name them all, most of them from behind the scenes, noticing a light bulb that's burned out and replacing it, repairing mowers when needed, going to buy the gas. I think we can find joy in knowing that Roland's part of this congregation. Dick and David Hilbert, they ran all the cabling for the new equipment installed in the sanctuary and throughout the building. That was no easy task. And they integrated the entire facility. And as a result of that, our worship experience has been enhanced significantly. Thank you very much, David and Dick. Jeff and Linda Baker, who are currently enjoying warmer weather than we are, I might add, in Hawaii. But both of these folks have been deeply committed to Emmanuel for many years. Jeff serves as an elder, not for the first time either, I might add, and provides his expertise and professionalism in recommending designs and improvements for our facilities. And it always shows up for the work days. And Linda, for the tremendous job she does day in and day out, keeping our church organized and functioning well, while maintaining all the necessary records to meet RCA standards and federal requirements. And we all benefit from their musical gifts. Kathy Kayampa, an amazing person. I think she personally adopts all the young children that she teaches each Sunday. And she never forgets them. The lawn mowing crew. Curly, Larry, and Moe. No, that's not it. Stan, Tom, and Moe. Of course, Glenn from Buscombe, or Glenn Cumingo, Wade from Buscombe, and many others, too. I could say Roland again here because he coordinates that and makes sure it all takes place. David Harris, Jr. I think there are more people in the congregation who haven't asked him for help with their computer than who have asked. Dottie Lensing warmly greets all of our congregants and visitors to the church almost every week, unless it snows, of course, and who graces us with some of the most passionate and touching prayers whenever needed. Adele Harris, what a job she has done for the last few years with Operation Christmas Child and provided much joy to hundreds, literally hundreds of kids around the world. Of course, through the efforts of many others as well, but she spearheaded that drive each fall and is certainly to be commended. Karen and Terry Smith, they've added a warm and wonderful touch to Sunday morning worship services, and they've been joined by their, you know, Karen's sister Debbie and her husband Mike, and greeting people as they come through the door at the main entrance. And of course, Terry is also now up in the booth working the PowerPoint. And Karen is one of the new members on consistory. We can find joy in that as well. And of course, our terrific choir, our organists and musicians, their efforts can truly enrich our worship experience each and every week. The various committees that support the church, our Worship and Music Committee, the Outreach and Welcome Committee, Christian Education, Missions Committee, Daycare Committee, Property Repair Committee, Finance Committee, they're all made up of several people using their gifts and abilities in a way that can help to glorify God. Our congregational care team, which is coordinated now by Roseanne Ferris, and the many folks who participate in that, it's somewhere up around 20 folks, but they prepare meals for folks who are in need, send cards, give rides to appointments, make visitations, and show care and concern for the well-being of members and non-members alike. We also have many volunteers who work to ensure our dinners are successful, preparing and serving the meals, cleaning the dishes, and the many folks who come to eat who support our important missions. And this list would not be complete without mentioning Dirk and Jennifer Geiser. While Dirk guides our spiritual journey each week with interesting, relevant, and challenging sermons, and is our leader, Jennifer has quietly incorporated aesthetic improvements and a warm personal touch around the church. You notice the bulletin boards? Did you notice the Christmas wrappings in the hallway during the holiday season? And she's also been so inviting and welcoming to people from the church to her home. Mug and muffin, breakfast that she had at her house, invited several ladies over. Just last week, invited all of the outgoing and concurrent members of the consistory for a gathering at their house after church last week. We are truly joyful for Dirk and Jennifer's presence at Emmanuel. This list could go on and on, but I have to stop at some point. Again, I apologize to those who I've admitted because I know there are many more. Each one of you have contributed to the joy that we celebrate at Emmanuel in some way, shape, or form. But let's come back now to Let's Go. While much has been accomplished in the past, there is still so much more to do. If we all stop and think about it, there are many ways we can do more as individuals and as a congregation if we are to follow Jesus' example. Those who have done this before know that participating in activities of the church and community build lasting relationships and bring a great deal of intense personal satisfaction. There was once a newspaper columnist by the name of George Crane who once told of a woman who came into his office full of hatred toward her husband. "I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me." The columnist suggested an ingenious plan. Go home and act as if you really love him. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. After you've convinced him of the undying love that you have for him, then drop the bomb. Tell him that you're leaving him. That will really hurt him. She was very excited. She loved that idea. With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful! That will get him good." And she did it with enthusiasm, passionately acting as if she loved him. For 2 months, she showed love, kindness, listening, reinforcing, sharing. But when she didn't go back to the columnist's office, he called her and asked her how if she was now ready to go through with the divorce. It had been some time. "Divorce," she exclaimed, "never! I discovered I really do love him." Her actions changed her feelings. The ability to love is established not so much by fervent promise as often as repeated deeds. Likewise, while participating in some of the activities of the church and community, you may find that you really enjoy yourself. Now, where would you like to get involved? You can gauge how much or how little you can do. It's purely up to you. Want to help with maintaining the church grounds? Would you like to join one of the several committees? Sing in the choir? Become involved in our pending capital campaign? Work on mission fundraising events? Attend Bible study? Teach Sunday school? Work with the children? Help clean up after fellowship hour? Or do you have another suggestion of how you would like to do and where you would like to help to further God's glory? Going back now to that woman who wanted the divorce, sometime afterward, the woman's husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months. Yet she had stayed by his bedside every single day. One day, when he came to, he motioned to her to come nearer. And as she sat by him, he whispered with his eyes full of tears, "You know what? You have been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. When my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were by my side. When we lost the house, you stayed right there. When my health started failing, you were still by my side. Do you know what I think?" "What, dear?" she gently asked, smiling as her heart began with warmth, to fill with warmth. "I think you're bad luck." Bad luck. Some might say I've had bad luck in my lifetime. I was 6 years old when my mother died. She was only 33. May and I have had not one, but two children with disabilities. Our oldest daughter, Carrie, died 2 weeks shy of her 37th birthday. Children aren't supposed to die before their parents. Was that bad luck? As I mentioned earlier, God offers joy in Christ while suffering with sickness. He also provides much joy to us in our memory, many memories of Carrie. He had such an unbelievable vocabulary. Even though she couldn't count to 10, write her name, she could speak very, very well. One day, we had an appointment at Albany Medical Center at 6 o'clock in the morning to go undergo another procedure for Carrie. We were there early by 5:45, sitting in the waiting room. A couple of the medical staff started to arrive, and of course they all knew Carrie. She was a chatterbox. As one of them came in, they said, "Good morning, Carrie. How are you today?" Without batting an eye, very quickly, she stated, "Well, the day started out all discombobulated, and the whole day has just been bizarre." Well, several people sitting around started laughing, and we couldn't help ourselves either. But reading further on in Philippians, in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, "I know how to be humbled, and I know also how to abound. In everything and in all things, I have learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. More than likely, you have heard before, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you, and that God will never give you more than you can handle. These statements are really true. Joy, as it turns out, results when God changes us, not our circumstances. God has given us strength that we never even knew we had and kept our family even closer together. The task ahead of us is never as great as the power behind us. He continues to bless us to this day, and included amongst our many blessings is this church and this family. Have you ever wondered if bad luck brought you here? I don't believe that at all. A sovereign and merciful God has you here so you can come to look like Jesus by learning to love one another, in finding joy in working with one another, and in building relationships. In Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. You cannot succeed by your own power. Do you, or will you, seek His Spirit to become one who enjoys working with other members of Emmanuel in the community?"